2 Kings 5, 19. When Naaman had gone from him a short distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "See, my master has spared this Naaman the Syrian in not accepting from his hand what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him." So Gehazi followed Naaman. And when Naaman saw someone running after him, he got down from his chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me to say, there have just now come to me from the hill country of Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of clothing." And Naaman said, "Please be pleased to accept two talents." And he urged him and tied up the talents of silver in two bags with two changes of clothing and laid them on two of his servants. And they carried them before Gehazi. And when he came to the hill, he took them from their hand and put them in the house. And he sent the men away, and they departed. He went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" And he said, "Your servant went nowhere." But he said to him, "Did not my heart go when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Was it a time to accept money and garments, olive orchards and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male servant and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever." So he went out from his presence, a leper like snow. Word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, previously in this chapter, we have not much insight into the character of Gehazi. That changes in the passage that's before us. His character is revealed quite clearly. Oddly enough, Gehazi's name itself means denier. Isn't that ironic? Gehazi says, "You know what? This Syrian was healed by my master, and he offered Elisha all of these gifts." And then it clicks in his mind. He says, "I am going to go and get some." And that's what we see in this passage. Gehazi's terrible actions that reveal his true character. And we see how the Lord deals with that through the prophet Elisha. Gehazi's reply to Naaman illustrates his true character. If you look at the passage that's before us now and go back in your minds to the previous passage, remember Gehazi had just seen Naaman healed from leprosy. Now, I don't know about you, but I think about this. What would it be like to actually see somebody who had leprosy? Maybe it was on their arm, maybe it covered their arm, and actually see it completely change, transform from leprosy to be beautiful once again. Gehazi saw that. Gehazi was Elisha's servant. He was a witness to this miracle that had just taken place. He was an eyewitness to all of the miracles that had taken place while he was the servant of Elisha. And he had seen the striking sovereignty of God in the healing of Naaman. I would think that would have made me sit back and, take my cup of coffee, sit back, drink my coffee, and think about the glorious power of God. But apparently that didn't happen for Gehazi. The grace and the power of God was there, but that grace and the power of God should have been evident in the healing of Naaman, and It should have done something for Gehazi, but it didn't, apparently. Gehazi thinks, I'm going to go and I'm going to catch up with Naaman. He's on his way back home, and I'm going to get some gifts from him. What a terrible thing is happening here in this passage. The free grace of God in the life of Naaman, demonstrated in the healing that God gave to this Syrian, the healing that God did to transform his life, that love, that beautiful healing that took place in the favor of God, Gehazi is a witness to it, but he sees it and it does not change his heart. Here was a guy who had been in the employ of the prophet. That's what he was. He was a servant. He had benefited from the prophet Elisha. He had benefited from the instruction of the prophet. I thought about that as well as I was reading this passage again. And I wondered, how many sermons did Gehazi hear every Sunday? Well, Saturday. Every time Elisha preached, he would hear the word of the Lord. Gehazi would hear that. Gehazi would have heard the instruction that Elisha gave to those to whom he preached. When Elisha spoke to the sons of the prophets, Gehazi would have been there. The instruction from the prophet would have been instruction from the word of God, but that instruction from the word of God apparently did not find a place in the heart of Gehazi. He had received all of that instruction, and that renders his wicked conduct the more excuseless, for he was not ignorant of the word of God. He was well instructed in the way of righteousness, but the preaching and the teaching of the word of God did not come with power to change and to transform the life of Gehazi. And he had seen the power of God, the power that healed Naaman as an example of the way of grace to sinners. He had seen how Naaman's self-righteousness and self-importance and his high position couldn't rescue him from his leprosy. He saw how Naaman had to humble himself. Remember, Naaman said, why do I have to go and bathe in the Jordan? I can go to my home and those rivers are better there than they are here. But he was humbled and he was healed by the power of God. But Gehazi is not changed by what he sees. And his answer is that he is simply a hypocrite. He is one who wants what he wants. He doesn't want what God wants. God had taught Naaman the miracle of free grace, but Gehazi puts a cloud over that. His conscience didn't reprove him. In fact, in this passage, you might say, did he forget that even God would see him? And Elisha says, I saw you. God saw Gehazi. But Gehazi just simply was a hypocrite, and he would not do what was right in the eyes of God. This is a passage about hypocrisy, and hypocrisy is that which looks and feels and talks religiously. Remember, even the devil can quote scripture, and he did it well. He used scripture. When he tempted Jesus, he uses scripture, but the devil, though he knows the scripture, does not believe the scripture. And the eyes of the devil are blind as well as the eyes of Gehazi, because sin blinds the eyes and the hearts of those who do not know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Hypocrisy is evident in the life of Gehazi. We see it in Gehazi. We see it in the life of Absalom. We see it in the envy of Cain. We see it in the malice of Esau. We see it in the revenge of Jacob's sons. We see it in the covetousness of Judas. We see it in the lewdness of Herod. And we see it all throughout Scripture. We see it in the church. We see it even in ourselves at times if we look for it, because hypocrisy is that which looks and feels and talks religiously, but it is not. That's Gehazi. Gehazi is not rejoicing in the mercy of God that was shown to Naaman, but he is chagrined and enraged and mobilized by Satan, gloomy and envious. He wants something, and he goes to Naaman to get it. He expresses dissatisfaction about his master, who declined the gift that Naaman had offered. And he says, this Syrian, Naaman, he says, I'm going to follow him. And Naaman is followed by Gehazi. And Naaman is approached by Gehazi, and Gehazi's only thought is seize the moment. And Naaman was a bird of prey ready to be plucked. And he goes after him, and he reaches him. And when he reaches him, he asks him for a gift. He remembers the wealth that Naaman had brought with him and offered to Elisha. You can imagine he might have thought of all of the gold and all of the silver and all of the wonderful things. And his covetous heart could endure no more. He wanted a piece of it. He wanted something. Interestingly, if you think back to this passage, what we've just read, he didn't really get a lot of things. I mean, he only got a couple of talents of silver, and he got a couple of bags of clothes. I mean, that's not really a lot. And yet you wonder, was there more than that? Because when Elisha challenges him in verse 26, didn't my heart go to you when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? He says, was it a time to accept money and garments? That's what he took. But notice he also says, olive orchards and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male servants and female servants. I'm not sure what that means, but we do know that Gehazi had a covetous heart. He took not only the money, but he took the garments, and then he hid them. He hid them because he didn't want Elisha to know about it. Was the honor of God something that Gehazi was concerned about? It meant nothing to him. He disguised his request as a noble request. Wasn't that interesting? When he caught up to Naaman, he said, oh, you know, just so you know, I'm hurrying because we just got a couple of guys that came in, you know, they're sons of the prophets, or their pastors on their way somewhere else, whatever it is. And they need something. It's kind of an urgent need. It's kind of like those people that kind of come to your door, knocking on the door of the church all the time, asking for an urgent need. But he invokes the name of God blasphemously. He prefers this well-digested lie to the truth, and he covers it up by hiding what he receives from the prophet Elisha. I would imagine that he congratulated himself on his shrewdness. Can you imagine when he came home after he picked up all of these things? When he came to the hill, he took them from their hand, he put them in the house, and he sent the men away, and he departed. And he went in and stood before his master. Can you think about what he might have been doing at that moment? Would he be congratulating himself and saying, here I am standing before my master who knows nothing about this, and I got all that good stuff that I've hidden in my house. And he lies to Elisha, the most untruthful and the dishonest. Always assume a pious pose in the company of the saints. They stand before the saints, they stand before the righteous, and they are liars and they are hypocrites. This is the story of Gehazi, the hypocrite who took all of these gifts from Naaman. But then he's exposed. At the end of that passage, it says, Elisha told him, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And it just simply says, he went out from his presence a leper, like snow. I wonder if that got Gehazi's attention. I'm sure it did. But it was too late. He hadn't learned his lesson, but the question that we need to ask is, what are the lessons we can learn from the hypocrisy of Gehazi? I think the first lesson is this: being close to the kingdom is not being in the kingdom. Gehazi was close to the kingdom. He was in the company of the prophet. He served the prophet Elisha. And he was a part of the kingdom prophecies that Elisha spoke about, but Gehazi wasn't a part of that. He had the most favorable of all of the circumstances of life, and yet his soul was depraved. And that is because the scripture says the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do what? To do evil. Ecclesiastes tells us. You see, the gospel is not about all things going well for you. The gospel is not about good things that happen to you. The gospel is not about social reforms. The gospel is about one singular thing, and that is the transformation of the heart that needs to be changed, that needs to be transformed, that needs to be made new by the power of God. And Gehazi's heart was not changed. He was close to the kingdom. He was in church, but he wasn't a part of the church. He was not in the kingdom. He didn't know the Lord as his Savior and King. We can learn from that as well. There are many that go to church. Many people go week by week to church. There are people that not only go to church, they're part of the church. There are many people that not only go to church that are part of the church, but they serve in the church. They might be officers in the church. They might be doing their thing, but they might still be like Gehazi, not changed, not transformed by grace. It's only the transformation of the gospel of God that changes lives, and the heart must be made right with God. And that's the story of this passage. We need to be right with God. Gehazi was not right with God. And we may expect this in the church as well. In the home of Elisha, his only servant was an imposter. Even among the apostles of the Lord Jesus, there was one who was really an imposter. That was Judas. Among the first Christians in the day of Pentecost, what do we find in the book of Acts? We find that Ananias and Sapphira were a part of the church. They were hypocrites in the church. That shouldn't surprise us when we read that. And it shouldn't surprise us that we might find the case today. Because human nature hasn't changed since the day of Gehazi, since the day of Ananias and Sapphira. The church today needs to know that human nature has not changed. We still need to proclaim that your heart needs to be right with God. And our Lord Jesus told us that we should expect that wherever the seed of the word of the Lord is sown, what will the enemy do? He will sow tares among the seeds. And there is no way that that will change, because hearts are the same then, they are the same today. Elisha had Gehazi. Jesus had Judas. The early church had an Ananias and Sapphira, because human nature is the same, and the enemy continues to do the same today, sowing tares among the wheat bringing hypocrites into the church. And that is why the scripture tells us to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, to adhere to the truth of God, and to know that we need to be right with God. We ought to pray that God would remove from each of our own hearts every false notion that conceals our true character, any inclination that we might have to deceive others, that we might be right with God. And the truth that we find in this passage is this, that there is no argument against true religion. Elisha was not a hypocrite because his servant was a hypocrite. No, Gehazi was a hypocrite, and he was the one against whom the judgment came. Religion does not stand or fall with a person like Gehazi. And we should say, woe to him by whom offenses come, yet I know myself to be saved by grace. In other words, I'm saved by grace and by grace alone. That grace that comes that changes my heart, that grace that changes your heart, is the only thing that will save you, that will redeem you, and keep you from being a hypocrite. You will be right with God. And as this passage reminds us, our true colors will appear. Our true colors will be demonstrated, because that's what God does. They were demonstrated with Gehazi. Elisha addressed him and told him what had happened, and he gave to Gehazi the judgment of God. The leprosy of Naaman will cling to you and to your descendants forever. His iniquity was exposed and fearfully punished. And there's no justification for our neglect in claiming that there are hypocrites in the church, because one rule of judgment applies to us all. So it should cause the hypocrite to tremble, whose guilt is heinous, his condemnation is severely condemned, and that leprosy, that punishment that's viewed as a form of chastisement, will bring transformation and should bring them to peace. It was a rebuke to his hypocrisy. The leprosy of Naaman was a monument to the grace of God and the favor of God upon all who sought salvation. But God's judgment is just. The display of his grace was compromised. And when Gehazi did that, the leprosy of Naaman became his. And it's a stern and a searching test for each of us today who are in the service of God, that we might be delivered from the love of money and the good opinion, the praise of men, wanting others to see us as good. All we should want is simply this: not only being right with God, but we should want to know the words of Jesus, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Gehazi did not hear those words, but those who know Jesus, transformed by grace and by the power of God, are those who will hear those words when they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. May each of us be that Christian who trusts Jesus Christ alone. Amen.